A few weeks ago, we did a survey on prayer and the life of prayer in and amongst our congregation and community. There weren't many surprises. If anything, there were a few half-informations given by that survey. And we are looking at working out how we might gain a bit more information about the landscape of prayer that is going on and that exists in our community. One of the interesting things is a vast majority, I think about 61%, I think is the figure, 61% of people say they pray more than once a day. But about 13% say that they set aside intentional times for prayer. That's quite a large difference. I presume, and I'm assuming that the data is telling me, is that a lot of us pray reactively, i.e. we don't set aside, right, I'm going to pray at these times, but as things come in, we respond with prayer, which is a good thing, in part. But I wonder what the content of that prayer is. When asked to describe what prayer is in a sentence, there was a lot of communication language going on, but a vast majority were talking about speaking to God. Prayer, it is hard to get away from, is mainly petition, appealing, making requests, asking God for stuff. And there is a culture amongst some Christians that say that that is a sort of basic way of praying. It's the good beginner's guide. But actually, if you're going to be a really good prayer, you should cast that off, not make requests to God. Instead, just sit in adoration and contemplation, as if adoration and contemplation is better than making petitions and appeals to God. I would want to say that that's false. That in the Old Testament, the times when prayer is specifically mentioned and someone is described as praying, it is always to make a request. That is what the word means. It's to make a request. We shouldn't shun this desire to ask God for things, for certain outcomes, for certain blessings. It's not shameful to ask it for other people. It's not shameful to ask it for ourselves. God desires our prayers. And for 2 weeks, we spoke about anger and then apology. And both of those sermons talked about the cost of not praying in that way. Not expressing our anger and not expressing our shame and apology, that the body gets racked. Well, here in Psalm 102, we have the same language. It starts with a great petition. Hear my prayer. The word here is Shema, which we said at the beginning of our service. Hear, O Israel. The Lord your God is your only Lord. Shema, hear. It doesn't just mean listen, take heed. It means obey. We are encouraged through this psalm to ask God to obey us. Obey us, O Lord. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Let my cry come to you. Soon after this demand to be heard and to be obeyed, a psalmist talks in this body-racking situation that they find themselves in, an affliction. That there is a sense in which they have withheld the prayer for so long that out of this pain, they express what is at the heart of their desires. Just as we had with anger, just as we had with apology, so we have with appeal. That if we do not pray, our bodies convulse. If we do not pray, we feel out of sorts and in pain. God desires us to express ourselves in all ways. But despite the psalmist shouting, proclaiming from their affliction that God hears their prayer, it takes a good while before they actually make any sort of request, except for to be heard. The only demands put upon God in the half of the psalm that we read is those opening lines, to that God hears our prayer, that he does not hide his face from us, that he inclines his ear and he answers us. But there's not actually a specific thing that the psalmist wants. It takes up until verse 24 when the psalmist says, "Do not take me away at the midpoint of my life." That's a first request. The psalmist's request and appeal to God is that they are heard. That is it. How often do we feel, as the woman, the Canaanite woman in our gospel reading, that Jesus doesn't answer us at all? That we make our request, we try to grab his attention in whatever way we want, and it's like he doesn't hear us, that he doesn't respond. I think this is the reason that some of us try and put down prayers of appeal and petition. It's because we are frightened that he might not answer us. That the things of our hearts, when he doesn't respond, or he doesn't answer them in the way that we want them to, we feel like that's shameful, that we've got it wrong, and therefore we won't do that again. But it is not true. It is not that God does not hear us. God hears us. God hears our petition. He desires it deep within. But often, in my experience, as I repeat a prayer over and over again, I begin to realize that I am asking the wrong thing. That, like an orange, and I excuse the pun that's coming, but we have to take off the peel. That we present God with something solid and coherent. And then in prayer, God receives that and begins to peel away our prayers, to get to the heart of us. He wants to hear what's really going on in our hearts. He wants to hear those words of affliction, because from that point, he can know what's a real prayer of appeal. Sometimes our words of petition and appeal get pushed away because we have this strange sense that God can't cope with the number of prayers that are made to him. Sometimes we relegate our prayers underneath others. Oh, he won't bother with me, little old me, because there are bigger things in the world than what I want. This is nonsense. God cares about each and every one of us. He considers us like a sparrow. A sparrow which feels lonely and distant. He knows it. Counts it. God is able to hear all of our prayers, to listen deeply to them. So despite this experience of an absence, an experience of loneliness in prayer, this experience that God has turned his ear away from us, that he's concentrating on something else, he's far too busy to hear from us, despite this experience, we need to learn that it is not true. That he will regard the prayer of the destitute, and he will not despise their prayer. prayers of appeal are just as much a part of prayer as adoration, contemplation, anger, apology, appreciation, all of these things. Petition is part of that prayer. God welcomes it because he knows that if we do not express the request, we do not express the desire, our bodies are going to be racked. We're going to experience great affliction as we withhold our prayer from him. And we can try and negotiate. We can try and make ourselves feel good by confessing all of our sins and getting all of the other sort of prayer out of the way before we get to that real request deep down in our heart. But that is the prayer God wants to hear. Do not be ashamed to bring it before God. However ludicrous, however stupid, however illogical and impossible the request is, God wants to hear it. He wants to unpeel us, get to the real heart of what we want to say. He desires this. So as we look ahead to Holy Week in 2 weeks' time, we journey through that week with Jesus. We're going to be reflecting on the kind of prayers that Jesus says. And Jesus makes requests. He makes appeals to God. We should not be ashamed to follow in his footsteps. We ask God for things, even that they are impossible. Lord, take this cup from me. A request made. And God hears them. The tenderness of fatherhood. So I wonder, what is that request, your deepest heart? What is that appeal that you want to make to God? Bring it before him. Ask him. Allow him to peel away at it, to get to your heart, where he may dwell in majesty. For the Lord is enthroned forever. His name endures to all generations. He will rise up and have compassion. He will regard the prayer of the destitute, and he will not despise their prayer. So let's pray. Lord, help us to know your great concern for us, your desire for us. Help us not to cast you away in shame or in embarrassment for asking. Help us to draw near to you, to bring our whole heart in every aspect, in every state that it's in its inconsistency, in its incoherence, Lord, you consider it and listen. Hear the beats of our heart. Answer us speedily. In your tenderness and in your compassion, in your mercy.